The text to call for our attention on this Trinity Sunday is our gospel lesson for today from the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter, where Jesus says to his disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It seems like almost anyone will talk about God these days. Christians talk about God. Muslims talk about God. The Jews talk about God. And while we might expect it from all of those people, they're not the only ones. Political candidates talk about God. Most of the best-selling authors of our day talk about God. Even atheists who don't believe in God, well, they're talking about God as well. And the God that is talked about is not only talked about by a variety of people, but also in a variety of locations. Obviously, people talk about God in churches. They also talk about him at sporting events. They even talk about him nowadays at scientific conferences. But while God is talked about by so many people and in so many places, very rarely does someone actually say who this God that everyone is talking about truly is. If terrorists who fly into buildings believe in God, and if politicians who are careful never to offend anyone believe in God, and if Christians were living out their lives believing in God, can it really be said that all of those people are talking about the same God? Well, of course not. For terrorists believe in a God that rewards people for senseless violence. Politicians, at least many of them, believes in a God that supports whatever is on their agenda. We Christians believe in a God who has revealed himself in the Scriptures. We believe in a God that created all things, that has redeemed all things, and who will judge all things. We believe in a God who has clearly said that he is one God. Yet we also believe in a God who has clearly revealed himself as three people. We believe in God the Father, we believe in God the Son, and we believe in God the Holy Spirit. As we believe in a triune God. The Father who created all things, the Son who redeemed all things, and the Spirit who sanctifies all things to bring all things to completion. That is the God that you and I believe in. And I can guarantee you that if you start talking about God in that kind of specific way, then many of the people who used to be talking about God will distance themselves from you. After all, the Muslim terrorists shudder at the idea of three people making up one God. The politicians can't be quite that specific, lest they offend someone that might otherwise vote for them. The best-selling authors of our day can't imagine that one person could actually believe that their description of God is any better than anyone else's. Even those atheists who don't believe in God start to get a little uncomfortable when you talk about God in such a personal way. So are we Christians just out of touch with culture? Should we be silent about the specifics of our God and cling only to a vague concept of some higher power? Should we stop making others uncomfortable and just fit in? Well, indeed, we are out of step with the culture of our day. But we can never forget the specifics that we have come to know about our God. For one cannot truly cling in faith to just some vague concept of God floating out there in the clouds somewhere. We can only cling to a personal God who we know because he has revealed himself to us. or our point in being specific about the God that we worship is not to make other people uncomfortable. But if the only way we can make other people comfortable is to deny the God that has revealed himself to us, then we cannot afford others such comfort. For the God who has revealed himself as triune is the only God that we know. The American generations before my own, for the large part, knew only of the triune God. They could speak just using the word God, and everybody knew which God they were talking about. They knew they were speaking about the triune God who had revealed himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. My generation, perhaps, is the first to live in an America full of divergent thoughts about who God is. No longer when someone uses the word God can we simply assume that they mean the same God that you and I are talking about. No, because the word God not anymore doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Jesus and the salvation he brought. In our day and age, the word God can mean almost anything the person wants it to mean. I can only imagine that the generations that come after mine and have already come after mine will have to deal with so many thoughts and ideas about God that their heads at times will likely spin. That is why we, who teach the next generation about the truth about God, must always be specific. That is why when we speak about our God, particularly in places where there are multiple ideas about God floating around, or to people who do not agree with our ideas about God, we must be clear about whom we are speaking. We must make clear that when we use the word God, we indeed mean the triune God that has revealed himself and his love in Jesus Christ. We must make clear that no other God will do, for there is no other God. And why must we be so specific? Why would we take the time today to read that long Athanasian Creed that seems to go on and on about this three-in-one concept? Is it just that we're stubborn? Is it just because we want to look smart? Is it just so we can be right and prove other people wrong? No, it is none of those things. We are that specific because we understand that the life that we live every day is a life that was given to us by the triune God. Each Sunday morning when we have one of our divine services, we begin that service with the invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We do this for a very specific reason. For every time we come into church, we do it to remind ourselves that we would not be here praying and praising and celebrating had not the triune God called us to himself, had not we have been baptized into his holy name. Yes, indeed, we celebrate each time we're here, and we live our lives in accordance with the fact that we were baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. No, we were not baptized into some abstract God floating out in the clouds, but rather a God who put on flesh that we could see him with our eyes. Yes, in our text for today, Jesus told his disciples before he left them that he would indeed send forth the Holy Spirit, and that when he did, those people would go out and they would baptize people. Once again, not in some abstract God's name, but in the triune name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No, it was not enough that people would believe in some God, but it was enough that the holy triune God would call those people his own. Yes, those people needed to receive the grace of God in the way that the triune God had arranged. And ever since that instruction of our Lord, the church has been following his instruction. We understand that true life begins when one is connected to the God who is one and yet reveals himself as three persons. Today is traditionally called Trinity Sunday. And while it's good that one day out of every year we would stop and ponder all the truths that are attached to the fact that our God is triune, the truth is that for Christians, every day is Trinity Day. For every day we live out the life that we received when we were connected to the triune God. Every day, whether we are working or whether we are worshiping, praying, and praising, we are doing so to the glory of the Father, who sent His Son to redeem us and who has sent forth His Holy Spirit that we might be made holy. Yes, ours is a triune life centered around the triune God. Baptized into His name at the beginning of our spiritual walk and buried in His triune name at the end of our earthly journey with Him. Yes, from birth to death and even unto eternal life, our life with God is lived out in the power and in the comfort and in the joy of knowing who our God is. There are many commercials on television lately that use this catchphrase, "Accept no imitators." And that is the message of Trinity Sunday. We will not accept any other God. We will not accept some vague concept of a higher power. We want the true God, the God who has revealed Himself as triune and who has come to save us. So today, let us make clear to ourselves, to one another, to the generations that are following us, and to the entire world, that we will lay down any teaching about God that does not bring glory to the triune God. We will leave behind any philosophy that tries to make God into some abstract concept that you can mold into your own image. We will repent of any times when we have allowed our words or our actions or anything else to give the impression that we worship anything other than the triune God who has come to us. For when we leave these things behind, when we repent of our mistakes in the past, that triune God comes to us again, even this day, with His love and His forgiveness. The Father gives to us again the Son, through the Holy Spirit. Yes, you were brought into relationship with God through your baptism and faith in His triune name. And one day you will be laid to rest in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of all flesh in that same triune God's name. And between then and now, today and each day you live until the end of your life, you have received a life to live from God. A life that you get to proclaim to everyone that you know not just a God, but the God. The triune God who shapes and molds your life into its being. Yes, God is Father. God is Son. God is Holy Spirit. We know us. Amen.